I'm an addict. My name is Charles. I know it's only through God's grace that I'm here today, Tween. And it's an honor to come up and share my experience, strength, and hopes. And I'm hoping that it'll help. Okay, let me start. I'll just speak a little louder. I said it's an honor to come here and share my experience, strength, and hopes. Hopefully, you know, someone will hear something that'll help them out a little bit. Okay, my name is Charles. I'm an addict. I came to this fellowship like most of us, you know, being pushed by the courts. I had no intention on staying here as long as I have. I thought this was, when I came in, it was the best kept secret. I had never even heard anything about N.A. My clean date is May 5th, 1980. This when I came here, this many people in this room would have been a convention. This is what a convention looked like when I got here. When I got here, it was perfect for me, though. You know, like I said, I had a lot of court pressure, so I was serving my time here. You know, it was either come here or go to jail. So, you know, when I came here, it was just like serving time to me. I was here against my will. I had to have a paper signed to show that I was in the meetings. And like any good addict, you know, I spent a lot of time in jail. Prior to getting here, you know, I was back and forth in the jail, so I know how to work the system. So I began to try to work the system in this program. I went to a lot of meetings because I wanted to impress the courts so they can give me an early release. I went to a lot of meetings. And as we know today, you know, a lot of meetings, a lot of recovery. So even though I didn't really want what y'all had to offer, I was making a lot of meetings. And I did everything that, you know, the program said do. You know, I got a sponsor right away, got a home group right away. You know, I developed my network, and I went to a lot of meetings. I was able to make 3 meetings a day. When I came in, it was only like 2 or 3 NA meetings in Washington, Maryland, Baltimore. I mean, if you add it all together, it's like 2 or 3 meetings. So I had to go to the other fellowship, and I thank God for the other fellowship for tolerating us, because we went in there, and I'm sure we screwed up their meetings. You know, because a lot of them thought, well, they were sober. That means they hadn't drank anything. But the stuff we was talking about made them feel uncomfortable, because some of the stuff we was trying not to do, they had did it before they came there. You know, but they tolerated us. And they made it easy for me to transition, because when I came here, if I had just gone to NA, I don't know if it would have worked. You know, so I thank God for that. You know, that might not be most people's story, but it just happened to be mine. You know, so, but we began to grow the fellowship. We started a lot of meetings. We started a lot of step meetings, because steps of the program. You know, this is the fellowship. When we get together and do stuff like this, we enjoying our recovery, the dances and all that. But when I got here, it wasn't a whole lot of peace. You know, I knew I was going to jail. I mean, it was normal for me. Even in my first few years, after I'd been clean for a while, you know, I would come to the meeting and I would announce, you know, that, you know, I probably wasn't going to be around here much longer. You know. And it's sad, you know, because that was my reality. I would get a certified letter. I'd get a certified letter, and I called my sponsor. I said, well, they, you know, like, I know I'm getting ready to go to jail, you know. I said, they know where I live. I said, they found me. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, they know where I'm at. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I got a certified letter today, you know, and, you know, it's just a matter of time. He said, what'd the letter say? I said, I don't know. I ain't open. I don't know. He said, why don't you read the letter? He said, why don't you read the letter and call me back and we can have this conversation? Because prior to coming to this program, anytime I got a certified letter, I was on my way to jail. You know, they know where I'm at. You know. So my sponsor said, well, you're so worried about going to jail. He said, we need to get you in there now so you can come back out the same day. And that's when I got involved with H&I. And I started kind of meeting into the institution. And that was one of the best things I ever did. I carried a meeting down Lorton for 3 years, every Wednesday. Rain, sleet, or snow. I went down there in a blizzard because I didn't know better. I didn't know that I didn't have to go down, but I mean, y'all had told me. Y'all told me, you know, like that. Don't not stop this, you know. Say you got to do the same thing you did using it. I know I would have went down in a blizzard if I was using it. And when I got there, wouldn't have been nobody there because the, you know, the people that got it, they know better than to come out. But, so I did that, you know, and that was a good experience because those guys told me what it was I needed to do to stay out, because every time I was in jail, I had good plans. I knew just what to do. You know, I knew what to do. But when I got out, I would always go to the strip before I go home. I'd stop there. I'd put my whatever I had in a lock at the bus station, and I would never make it home. You know, so y'all gave me some direction. So let me just shorten that part up. I went to court. I was going to court for a whole year. They caught me with some drugs. You know, I knew I was going to beat this charge, you know. So I went to court for a whole year, and my defense was going to be that the police planted it on me. And my partner, who was in the court in Arden, was going to back me up, just like the police had. The police had somebody who was going to back him up. I had somebody who was going to back me up. So that was my only defense, you know. Now, I was making a lot of money. I was making too much money to get a court-appointed lawyer. And I was using too much drugs to pay one. So every time I went there, I didn't have any defense. And the last time I went to court, they was going to sentence me. And the judge said, do you have anything before we impose sentence? And I said, yes, Your Honor. I began to lie. I was telling the truth, but I thought I was lying, right? I said, Your Honor, I said, I know how to live in jail. I said, but if you could sentence me to some kind of program that could teach me how to live on the street, I said, I'd be better off. And I already knew about this program. So that's what he did. He gave me time to get in there, and I left out there. I said, I got over. You know, I forgot how I was afraid and how I prayed with as many religious. When I was down there before my sentence, they had a religious thing going on in D.C. where, you know, like they was, you know, churches from every area in the United States, and they were just marching through praying. And I prayed with as many groups as I could, and I said, God, help me. And I forgot how, you know, I prayed. And I realized the day that God answered my prayer. He took me out of one court because it was so crowded and put me into another court, which allowed me to get to this program. And in that program, I really didn't feel like I was an addict. You know, I mean, there were some guys in there. I knew they was addicts, you know. Big feet, big hands, you know, and, you know, all that stuff. I had them too, but mine wasn't as big as theirs. And it was something. But I'm an opportunist by nature, so I took that opportunity to try to do something. I said, well, I'm gonna do everything these people say do, and when that crap don't work, I'm gonna use it. I ain't gonna feel bad about it. So I began to do everything that y'all was telling me to do. I did 95% of everything that was suggested in the beginning. I didn't listen to anything that had to do with women. But all that other stuff, I listened to everything. Everything they said, I did it. I ran away from home at 31 years old, moved into the Oxford House. I left out of treatment. I left out of treatment, went straight to a meeting. I told them, you know, I just got out of meeting. If I don't get some help today, I'm going to use. I met some of my first friends there, and they carried me back and forth to meeting. They hired me on a job straight out of treatment. They got a $1,500 tax break for me. And I told them, I said, well, y'all gonna have to watch me because I steal. You know, so my job watched me, right? You know, they was watching me real good, you know. And but every day at noontime, they would say, isn't it time for your classes? They would send me to the meeting. So I was able to get that one meeting. When I got off, there was a 5:30 meeting. I was able to make that. And we started NA meetings at 7 o'clock because we can go to the NA meeting. And then, because AA meetings were at like 8:30. So after we can go from our NA meetings to the AA meetings. That's why most of the NA meetings started at 7 o'clock, because they fit just before. Because, I mean, after I went to a NA meeting and I helped y'all stay clean, I had to go get some help. You know. Because... I came out of treatment. I had 6 months. I've been in that treatment set of 6 months. When I came out, I was a guru. I had more time than anybody. You know, I had all the time. People looking up to me, they wanted to know something. So I would read all kinds of literature on the way in the meeting. I couldn't read it at home because I forget it by the time I get there. But before I go in the meeting, I read that stuff. And I go in there and I say it real fast to y'all before I forget it. And that's how it worked in the beginning, you know. And then I would tell y'all, you know, like, you know, if I ever need this stuff that I'm giving y'all, y'all got to give it back to me. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how the program worked, you know. First of all, even if I could have remembered this stuff, I'm not going to know it when it comes to me, because I don't tell myself the same thing I tell y'all. You know, I still don't have that ability. You know, when I'm on fire, you know, I don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. But I'm the one to be with in a crisis, believe me. You know, I'm the one you want to be with in a crisis, because I don't panic and I don't worry about nothing until the crisis is over. Then I have a nervous breakdown. But in the midst of the storm, I got it. I really do, you know. My sponsor told me I worried about everything. You know, I worried about everything. Like I told y'all in the beginning, all I worried about was going to jail. After 4 years, I knew I was going to jail. I had never been out that long. Never been out. You know, and he'd be always like, well, why you worried? He said, what you do? I said, I ain't done enough. He said, they're not going to lock you up. They're not going to lock you up if you haven't done enough. I said, but it's time. It's time. Time for me to go, you know. And, you know, so my sponsor helped me by telling me, oh, he said, look, there's plenty of time to worry. Now's not the time. He said, you can worry. You spend all day worrying about something that's going to happen next week. See, if you die today, you don't waste your last day worrying about a day you never live to see. And I spent so much time. I spent so much time worrying about stuff that I would never even recognize in my life. I'm talking about today. I ain't talking about then. I'm talking about right now. You know, I can still get off base and be concerned with some stuff that'll never even affect my life. You know, so I try. I don't worry. I don't do a lot of worry. And I try to calm people down. I try to stop them from worrying, because there's nothing to worry about. God's given me everything. I had everything I needed for this program before I even got here. My parents gave me everything I needed, but they were idiots, and I didn't listen to them. I found out that they were smarter than me. You know, I come in here, and y'all tell me the same things that my parents told me. I was real confused. I wasn't like y'all. I had real issues, you know, like, don't tell me to put a hat on when it's cold. Terrible stuff, man. See, but my sponsor also told me that there are no little deals in this program. See, that might not be a problem for most people, but if it bothers you enough to take a drink or drug, it's a big issue. You need to talk about it. So I had to talk about that thing. It bothered me. When I mentioned it in the room, everybody I knew started talking about, man, put a jacket on. Man, put a hat on. I hated that. I didn't like it when my mother told me. You know, I don't get cold. You know, but y'all helped me with that, because y'all love me enough and y'all didn't care, you would say it anyway. And then when my hair fell out, I started wearing a hat. You know, because I had already got conditioned by y'all. But for the newcomers, this is a real simple program. This program is so simple. It was a little harder when I came in because, you know, most of my role models, there were a few here when I got here. Most of my role models used. Most of my role models, but not before they helped me. They gave me what I needed. They were giving me the right information. They just couldn't do it. And then when I started living the program, the rest of y'all started talking about me. Well, he think he a N.A. guru. And he think he a N.A. police. I mean, you know, he think this and that. All I was doing was what y'all told me to do. That's all I was doing. Y'all trying to make me feel bad for doing what y'all were teaching me to do. But I didn't let it bother me. You know, I just kept on doing what I had done to get that far, you know. And so we have to be mindful, man. You know, people are looking up to us. Even the person with one day, somebody will come by and they're going to be impressed with what you had. You got to set an example for somebody. You know, this program is easy. They told me, they say, you find somebody that this program is working for, you do what they do. They didn't say do what they say, because I can tell you to do stuff that I can't do. But they say you do what they do, you got a shot at this. So that's what I did. I hung out with those guys. By the time they let me go in the evening, it was too late to use. It was time to go to bed. I go home, I go to bed. When I wake up, I go to the meeting and start it all over again. I had 2 years before I knew it. And that's when I began to really live the program. The first 2 years, I knew I was going to use. I was waiting for the court brush to end, you know, because I wasn't going to go to jail. I was getting too old for that. But let me see. What happened is that I began to just plug in, do the things saying. After 2 years, they told me, they said, but they'd been telling me all the time, they said, look, I started using at the age of 9. I never said that. I started using at the age of 9 when I found this fellowship, I was 31 years old. So they said, Charles, you never had a life. He said, why don't you stay around here long enough to get a life? Compare that life with the life you lived before you got here, then decide whether or not you want to stay. Prior to getting to this program, I was living with my mother because she needed me. You know. And, you know, so like I said, I ran away from home at 31. You know. And, in that first 2 years, I had gotten an apartment in my name. It was fully furnished. I had a car, a truck. I had two motorcycles. I had a checking account and a savings account. I had money in both of them. And I was making minimum wage.
Yeah, yeah.
Minimum wage, you know. And that's when I decided I had something to compare my life again. I had never done that. I was making a lot of money prior to coming into fellowship. I came in, I took a therapeutic job. I started work for minimum wage because money wasn't my problem. I mean, I could always make some money. And I was able to do so much. Those guys who I was working for, they helped me. They made me buy my first house. They gave me the money for the closing costs. The same ones that I told to watch me on this job. I said, y'all got to watch me because I steal. I had the key to the building. I had my own code. And things began to change. You know, I was able to get the peace that I gotten just from my own experience. You know, I don't have to worry about a whole lot. All I got to do is look back from where I came.
That's right.
If God could stop me from using and I didn't want to stop, if he could put me in an apartment with my name on it, fill it up with furniture, do all this stuff with minimum wage, and I was making all that money and had to live in my mother's house, and she had to buy my gas and cigarettes, you know. If God could do this, you know, he could take care of me. You know, I cried all the way home one day because God can be slow. It in my opinion, you know. And my rent was due. I had just bought my second house. My rent was due. I don't know, I wasn't making enough money, they wasn't paying me fast enough or something. But the money wasn't there. And see, so all that day while I was working, I was thinking all the places I can rip off. I say, I know they still cash checks over there. Yeah, you know, because I'll run in a joint. I would have. I'd done that in before, you know, ain't doing it no more. But all day long, I thought about, how can I get some money? And the program kept on kicking in, you know, just trust God, you know. Just, you know, everything's going to be all right. Things going to work out. But on the way home from work that day, it was like, okay, I'm going to need my money in the morning. It's nothing going to happen between now in the morning that's going to pay my mortgage. And I cried all the way home. As soon as I got home, my wife said, guess what came in the mail? She showed me a check from our mortgage company for the exact amount of our mortgage. On the bottom of the statement, it had nothing. No explanation. So then, you know, I became spiritual again. Yeah. Because it's good, it's easy to be spiritual when everything's going right. Easy to be spiritual when everything's going right. And, but it, you know, what it did, it just showed me how little faith I had. Last year, I had applied for some benefits that I should have had 40 years ago and everything, you know, and everything was working out, and I was believing God for this stuff coming in, you know, it was going to help me in my retirement. So I remained calm and peaceful, you know, and I'll try to help other people along the way. And Christmas Eve, when I woke up, I told my wife, I said, you know, I believe all this time that I would have what I entitled to by the end of this year. And I'm not going to get it. She said, well, the year's not up yet. It was Christmas Eve. I said, yeah, but if they haven't gave it to me now, at Christmas, they're going to be on vacation. Nobody's going to do anything. It'll be next year before they get around to me. You know, so I ain't going to get nothing. She said, well, okay, we just went out and had a manicure, pedicure, and doing some things to make it calm us down. And when we got home, they had told me that I had gotten exactly what I've been waiting for. So right now, you know, like in my retirement, I'm making twice what I was making work in my retirement. But what it did, it showed me that when my faith really gets weak, it always happens just before God shows off for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And all year, I can be spiritual all year and just know everything's going to work out. But at the last minute, I would panic and lose it, you know. But my experience has shown that even when it's too late for me, it's just in time for God, you know. You know, so I've run out of time. Now, I know I haven't helped y'all. But look, y'all have certainly helped me by being here, you know, because that's how this program works, you know. And I want to thank y'all for being here for me, and I'll come to you guys.